All right, there you go. And I think that cut you off, Rebecca. Are we okay to start roll?
Yes, please.
Okay, thank you. Judge Conklin is absent today. Ms. Fleming?
I'm present.
And Judge Bannon? Judge Gabe?
I'm here.
Thank you. Judge Kelly?
Here, thank you.
Thank you. Judge Large?
Present.
Judge Ryan? Judge Sachs?
Here.
Thank you. Judge Siebert? Judge Thompson let us know he wouldn't be here today. Judge Zahner? Ms. Bartleson?
Present.
Mr. Finke? And Mr. Harrigan?
I'm here.
Thank you. Mr. Kim is going to be absent today. Mr. Landry?
I'm here.
Thank you. Ms. Levere? Mr. Riley?
Here.
Thank you. Mr. Rule?
Here.
Mr. Taniguchi?
Here.
Mr. Taylor?
Here.
Mr. Yamasaki?
Yes, good afternoon. I'm here.
Thank you. 13. Okay, Rebecca, we have 13 of 22 members here today.
Okay, and Judge Zahner has just joined us in the conference room.
Oh, great.
Hello, I'm here.
Okay, that makes 14. Thank you.
Okay, great.
This is Sean Landry. Sean Landry is here as well. I cut out, so I'm not sure if you heard me or not. Thank you.
Sean, I did get you. Yes, thank you.
Brandy, this is Jeff Wardlaw. I'm here as well.
Thank you so much. Oh, John, thank you. And I didn't flip my page. John, I'm sorry. I left you off the list. And while we're on advisory members, Ms. Mueller?
Present. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And then I'm sure about our liaison member, Judge Kalankarian?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you. Okay.
You're welcome.
That is all of our roll call. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, Brandy. So again, for the group, we are on a teleconference, so please identify yourselves prior to speaking for the benefit of all of those participating. And when you're not speaking, please put your phones on mute so we do not have background noise. So the first order of business that we have is to have the minutes approved. So is
Bartleson moves for approval.
There we go. Thank you, Kim. Any second?
Judge Ryan checking in.
So I heard Judge Ryan, but I think there was a second voice.
So Judge Kelly, I was making a second on the motion to approve the minutes.
Okay, so what we'll have is Judge Ryan and Judge Kelly seconding the minutes. Are there any, we're going to take Judge Conklin's approach with, are there any opposed to approving the minutes? The minutes are approved unanimously. All right. Then we have received public comments. They have been distributed to all members. Brandy, are there any additional public comments that we've received since mid-afternoon?
No, that was it. Thank you.
Okay. So then we will move on to our first item, which is the 22-23 court reporter funding allocation. This is an action item, and I believe we have Chris Belloli reporting on this today. Chris, are you with us?
I am, Rebecca. Thank you. And can you hear me okay, everyone?
We can. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, great. Thank you. And good afternoon, everyone. I know it's late in the day, and it's been a long day of meetings for most individuals, so I'll try to be brief with my two court reporter funding items. And I'll certainly address each one separately, but I did want to highlight some common elements between these two items up front. Both of these items represent ongoing funding, where the last 21-22 fiscal year was the first year of this new funding. And for the last year in 21-22, the funding methodology subcommittee established an hoc court reporter funding subcommittee to develop and recommend an allocation methodology for both of these pools of funding. And these allocation methodologies developed by the subcommittee last year, that's the $30 million court reporter and the $7 million for the transcript rates, were approved last year by the FMS, by this body, TICBAC, by JBBAC, as well as the Judicial Council last year. And the recommendation that was approved by the Judicial Council last year in turn directed staff to update the allocation methodologies for next year, which is this year, based upon updated data. And that's what we've done, and that's what we're here today bringing TICBAC for approval, and that is the 22-23 allocations based upon updated data, but using the same methodology developed and approved last year. And I do want to mention that there is one change to each of these funding items for this year compared to last year, and I'll go into a little bit more detail when I address the items. But I do wanted to mention that these changes do not impact the methodology that was approved last year or the allocations being considered today. So I'll go ahead and move on to item one, and that's a recommendation for the 22-23 allocations for the $30 million court reporter funding. The report you should have starting on page 5 of the materials. It contains the recommendation for your consideration today, and then the 22-23 allocation should be in attachment 1A, which would be in pages 8 and 9 of the materials. The allocation methodology that was approved last year that is sort of being used for this year's allocations is outlined in the section of the report kind of called the policy principles. And just to sort of highlight what those are, is that the $30 million is being allocated based upon a proportional allocation methodology tied to non-criminal judicial workload. And much like last year, the allocation methodology or the allocations have a $25,000 funding for it. And there is a reconciliation process for any unused funds that you can see in the report. And that's similar to the process for last year. And the only thing that we did for this year, as I mentioned, is just to update the judicial workload data using the 2022 data, but plugging that data into the same methodology approved last year. And so the change that I wanted to highlight from last year, and you probably saw that we had some public comments relating to these, is that there are some new requirements for how these funds can be used based upon the changes to the budget language for 22-23. But I do want to stress that these changes do not impact the methodology or the allocations being considered today, but they do obviously impact, you know, how courts will be using those funds. And we'll be providing guidance to courts in the next couple of weeks before those funds are allocated after Judicial Council approval. And that's it for my presentation on item one. I'll go ahead and open the floor for any questions relating to this first item one and the recommendation in the report.
So, Chris, this is Rebecca. I did receive a question regarding the reference to retention bonuses, and that's the use of the funds. And the question was, if the retention bonus was used and it didn't result in an overall number increase, or in fact there was another decrease, with another personnel, does that mean the court would have to pay back the money?
I think, you know, for these individual questions, this is something that we're going to be looking into more and getting sort of input from sort of a CEO work group. I mean, to respond to that specific question, the budget language sort of allows for, provides for these funds to be used for retention purposes, and sort of what you outlined seems to fall under the sort of allowable use of the funds based upon kind of what was in the budget language.
Okay. Thank you, Chris.
So I guess my answer is yes. I guess my answer is yes. I know that's sort of a long-winded way, but it's sort of, you know, with a lot of this, there are sort of various scenarios that sort of underlie each question that we'll probably need to look at on an ad hoc basis. But for general purposes of retention, that is one of the changes in terms of the expanded use of these funds in this current 22-23 year.
So that's a yes, it would be an allowable use, is what you're saying, theoretically.
That's my understanding based upon your question, yeah.
Okay, thank you, Chris. Do I have your question? I'm sorry, who is that?
This is Neil Taniguchi from San Mateo. I had a follow-up question on that. If you have a retention bonus and you're trying to retain your existing court reporters, if your court reporter is not necessarily working in civil and family law, is that an allowable use of those funds?
My suggestion for Neil and others with these specific questions on how the funds can be used, which is really separate from the recommendation being asked TIC back to consider today, which is more on the allocation side. We're collecting these questions from all the courts so that we can review them in greater detail, get court feedback, and provide those sort of in mass to all the courts rather than on an ad hoc basis. And so I would ask Neil if it's okay if I could sort of follow up with you at a later time in terms of answering that specific question, because we're also collecting similar questions from other courts, and we hope to address these at a court webinar in a sort of a single communication out to the courts rather than at this time where we're focusing more on the allocations themselves.
Chris,
I understand. That's fine.
Okay.
And I interrupted you, but do you think that the questions, as you gather them and we bring them from the webinar, we could create a document like a frequently asked questions or something like that to circulate at a later date?
Yeah, that's exactly where we're going, and I appreciate the suggestion. I think we had one from last year, if I don't remember, as part of the webinar, and so that's kind of part of what we will be doing is both addressing them at the webinar and then documenting them in an FAQ for reference purposes.
Great. Okay, so let's move on to other questions or comments.
This is Brian Taylor. I do have some comments.
Go ahead, Brian.
There are so many issues with this policy that it's hard to know where to begin, but I do have some comments on concerns and issues related to the development of this policy. One, the statute is sufficiently clear on its face that there's no reason to look at legislative intent. Two, when you look at legislative intent as phrased by the policy, it completely writes out certain sections of sentence two, which is inappropriate. The items that are set forth in the second sentence, many are mandatory subjects of bargaining, and this policy inserts itself into the bargaining process, which does not seem appropriate. This establishes an incredibly bureaucratic, complicated, and unnecessary process for courts to follow. I had the opportunity to review many of the comments, even though there was short time to do so, and I find myself agreeing with most of the comments that have been submitted about this policy. In particular, I note that CCRA said this policy is nonsensical, and I agree with that. It's not possible for me to support this policy.
Thank you, Brian. Are there any other comments, questions? So I'm not hearing any comments or questions. So I do think that we need to focus on the policy issue today and on the fact that we're looking at an allocation methodology. There were a number of questions proposed in the public comments. So I guess what I would ask, is there anybody who is interested in making a motion to push things in a certain direction or another?
This is Brian again, and I prepared to make a motion. And that motion would be that we adopt the funding allocation only without the policy requirement, and that courts rely upon the statute as written.
Rebecca, this is David Yamasaki. I would second that motion. I do have some commentary at the appropriate time as well.
Okay, we have a first and a second by David. Go ahead, David, with your comments, and then we'll ask for other comments and questions.
So I happened to, I was able to read the couple of comments that were made available to us for consideration as well, and I do believe that there are some very valid points that were included in the commentary that was provided. There are some challenges in following what was permitted in the budget language, but I think as we're talking about recognizing this as an allocation, I think there's enough, first of all, language contained in the budget language that it would be able to be put to use very quickly. So that's one of the things. I think that there are some other issues that are in need of clarification, and that's something that we could work through later. Like the one question is, if a court uses some of the monies for the purpose of retention in another area, is that does that fall run afoul from the language that was included? And I think, again, that's something that needs to be teased out. But there's enough in the language that I think courts can move. The sooner that the monies can be allocated, it's very clear that there are recognizable expenses that would fall within the intent of the language that's been expressed. But I also agree that we need to clarify some of the issues that are contained therein. So for that reason, I think it's appropriate for us to move forward with the recommended action or the recommendation that was identified and moved by Brian.
Thank you, David.
Rebecca,
this is Sean Landry.
Okay, I heard Sean. I think there's enough spoke up. Okay, Sean,
can you hear me?
Okay?
If
yes,
you can hear
you.
Me, okay. I just want to also support Brian Taylor's motion. For similar reasons, I did get a chance to read through the public comment, and there are very valid points raised, and I support his recommendation. I just wanted to make that comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Sean. Was there another
Rebecca?
Speaker? Yes.
Yeah, this is Rob O'Young.
Hi, Rob. Go ahead, Rob.
I just wanted to provide some additional clarification to the group. And I think that, you know, Rebecca, you had mentioned it and Chris had mentioned it in terms of separating the discussion around the proposed allocation versus discussion around the policy. Since this particular group is really focused on the allocation, I think it's important to focus the recommendations on that area as well. From a program perspective, there is an opportunity, as Chris mentioned, to discuss that later. We have actually reached out to the Department of Finance to ask for clarity, and they did reach out to the legislature for clarity on the budget language, and we have heard back from them that the intent is as stated, focused on civil and family. And we do recognize that there are operational challenges and there are other considerations that I think are going to be, that are going to require quite in-depth operational discussions with the courts. However, I think that that is a separate discussion from the discussion that's on the agenda today for allocation, for the allocation methodology.
This is Brian, and I would say that that is incorporated into my motion, and that there would be no policy. The policy is the statute, and the numbers in the allocations move forward to the courts.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Rob. Other comments, questions? Okay, I'm not hearing any other comments or questions. Brandy, do you have down clearly what you understand the motion to be?
Yeah, so what I have is to move forward with the allocations as presented. The addition was, and courts rely on the statute as written.
Brian, is that
It is moved to approve the funding allocation chart or the numbers only without the methodology or policy and only the statute. Do we need to rephrase that?
Brandy, do you need that rephrased?
No. So move with numbers only, without a methodology or policy, and only the statute. Did I capture that correctly, Brian?
Correct.
And David, was that your understanding as well?
Yes, it was. Thank you.
Okay. So may I ask for with Brian and David, would you consider friendly amendment of asking staff to come back quickly after approval of the allocation to clarify those questions that are out there that are operational questions? So that webinar that you, would you consider that to be a friendly amendment?
I think the courts always have the ability to contact staff to ask those type of questions, or if they have legal questions, they contact legal services. And so I don't know that that's really a necessary amendment.
Okay. So perhaps staff, can we just make a note to make that get that on the calendar if possible?
Yes, no, we're sort of in the process of collecting questions, certainly in advance of today's meeting, as well as the ones from today and then the ones going forward. So that'll be something that we'll be working on, as Rob mentioned, with court input in terms of sort of implementation options based upon the language.
Okay. Other questions and comments?
So, Rebecca, this is David Yamasaki again. Clearly, there were some opportunities to refine the language or make it clearer, and I think based on Rob's comment, that is information that continues to come in, and obviously we rely upon clarity whenever we can if there's something that may be a little vague for us. So I think the motion that has been made in the way that it was expressed allows for some flexibility as new information comes in, and I am confident that we will have the information sufficiently detailed and provided to us as quickly as possible so that we can act upon it. So I feel comfortable with the current motion that's been made, and stand by my second.
Okay, thank you. Last chance for comments or questions. Okay, so in the approach of Judge Conklin, is there anybody opposed to the motion?
And this is Judd Sachs. I'm opposed to it.
Thank you. Brandy, did you get that noted?
I did, thank you.
Okay.
And to clarify, just real briefly, I have no problem with the allocation. But I think the methodology that's been previously approved and talked about to be part of the allocation.
Thank you very much for that clarification. That's been noted. Okay. Any other opposed Any abstain?
This is Judge Calamkarian. I'm not opposed. I'm just, could someone repeat one more time what the motion is?
Brandy, can you read yours, please?
Of course. So to move forward with the allocation numbers only without a methodology or policy and only the statute.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. All right. Any other opposition? Any other abstentions? Okay. Motion carries. All right. Chris, would you like to address?
Oh, item two?
Yes, thank you.
Oh, okay. So the item two is a recommendation for the 22-23 allocations for the separate $7 million funding to cover the costs for increased transcript rates. I'll be on a little bit of a parallel track here because there's a lot of similarities with the previous item. But in there's a report starting on page 10 of the materials with the recommendation, and then the 22-23 allocations will be in attachment 1B, which is in on pages 13 and 14 for those listening in. And again, the allocation methodology was approved last year, and you can see that outlined in the policy principle sections of this report. The allocation methodology is sort of based on a proportional allocation for this item, and for the $7 million, that proportional allocation is based upon using a three-year average of transcript expenditures. The allocations for 22-23 were updated using a more recent three-year average. So in the report, you'll see that it represents a three-year average for fiscal year 19-20, 20-21, and 21-22. There is a reconciliation process for these funds like last year. And this is the area for this item that does have a minor change from last year. And I'll just sort of go over that briefly. For last year, because the transcript cost increase was effective September 23rd, 2021, or kind of partial through the year, we needed to associate the reconciliation process to this specific date in both the baseline from the 2020-21 expenditures, as well as what the current expenditures were last year in 21-22. And you can kind of refer to the last year's report for a little bit more information about this process. But this adjustment impacted the reconciliation process for just the first year of funding. So you can see in Table 1 on page 11, for this year's report, that the reconciliation process for the $7 million funding is now based upon the complete 2021 baseline, as well as what will end up being the expenditures for the full 22-23 fiscal year, and that sort of process is described on pages 11 and 12. And again, sort of this change from this year versus last year has no impact on the methodology or the allocations being considered by TICFAC for today. So I'm done with item two. I'll go ahead, like I did last time, open the floor for any questions relating to this item.
Thank you, Chris. Any questions or comments for Chris?
I don't have any questions. This is Kevin Harrigan. I would make a motion that we approve the recommendation.
Zahner, second.
Okay, we have a first by Kevin, a second by Judge Zahner. Any other comments or questions? We certainly have time to discuss if there are any questions or comments that anybody wants to make.
Rebecca, this is David Yamasaki. I'd be happy to make a comment if I may.
Please.
Thank you very much. So I, too, as it relates to the public comment that was received, I did read over the information, and I recall there being a reference to the nature of what transcript work happens to be and whether or not it would be reasonable to include this sort of allocation in in the form that it has been provided. But to that I say, you know, it is an actual expense that courts incur. The methodology that was identified for distribution is proportionate to the actual expenditures that courts have incurred previously. So I do think that the methodology is very sound. I absolutely support the motion that's been made and seconded for the reasons that I just expressed.
Thank you, David. Anybody else? Other questions, comments? Okay, so we have a motion to approve as recommended. First by Kevin Harrigan, second by Judge Zehner. Is there anybody? We're going to call for the question. If there's last chance for comments or questions. Okay, any opposed to the motion? Any abstentions? Hearing no opposing votes and hearing no abstentions, the motion passes unanimously. Brandy, did you get that down?
Yes, thank you.
Excellent. And I will turn back to Brandy and Fran and ask if we have, first of all, thank you, Chris, for those presentations. I appreciate that very much. Brandy
you,
and Fran, other items that we need to address today?
Nope. Yeah, we covered it today, Rebecca. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Rebecca. No further.
Well, as always, we really appreciate all of the help by Chris and Brandy and Fran and staff, John, all of you. And so, see you next time.
Thank you.
The host has left the meeting. So at this time, the meeting will come to an end. Thank you and goodbye.